Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve Jones joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few moments. A couple of busy sports days in the last few days. Potential no-hitter going to be reviewed as R.A. Dickey's no-hitter might be overturned and be called a no-hitter. I don't know if that's such a good idea or not, reviewing games later on. I mean, I know that Joe Torre has done this a lot and looked at a lot of these different things over the years, over the year so far, and changed some of the scoring. But now you're kind of changing history a little bit. And interesting to get Steve's take on this, too, to see if it's along the lines of his thought on what we've been talking about for the last several months, too, and that's replay in baseball. I mean, should you be able to replay that in an instant? It's no big deal, but should you be able to replay it now several weeks later and then overturn and make that a no-hitter? I don't know. That's one of the things we'll discuss. Of course, it was not an easy play either, barehanding the ball. So, you know, giving the third baseman an error on that is another question mark. But we'll get into that. We'll also have some more baseball talk as we get an interview with the first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals from the State College area. We'll have that coming up for you here this afternoon, all part of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. Our sponsor today for the Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Make your stop there before the weekend and get all stocked up on all your favorite beverages, including soft drinks as well. So there's something for everybody down there at Brewers Outlet. A lot of pickles there, too. And I'll tell you what, the pickles and olives, they're pretty darn good. I ended up bringing a couple of those home the other day and just sat there eating olive after olive. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but it tasted really good, and that's all that really matters. Steve Jones Show here on WKOK will return in just a moment.
The temperature in June can get hot, but not as hot as the lineup of Kias at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you. Sunbury Motors Kia has 46 of the hottest, fastest-selling vehicles in America. Built in the USA, 2013 Kia Sorentos start at just $21,940. Built in the USA, 2012 Optimus from $19,975. 2012 Kia Souls for as low as $14,730. Want great fuel economy? Sunbury Motors Kia has the 40 mpg 2013 Kia Rio starting at $14,960. Or how about the 2012 Optima Hybrid with up to an amazing 47 mpg and starting at $25,957. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000 mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year 60,000 mile basic warranty. At Sunbury Motors Kia, you get an extra set of tires. The hottest, fastest selling cars are at Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Kia Sorento and CERN Optima GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts.
Hey, it's almost time for the 4th of July, so hurry to Kohl's for your summer celebration. Get your flag and pole set. Was $27.99, now just $19.99. Kohl's can light up your backyard with solar pathway lights, $2.99 each, or 6-foot torches in copper or black, were $14.99, now just $9.99.
Some like it hot, but not me. I'm going to Kohl's for a 5,000 BTU air conditioner, now just $99. And Kohl's has what you need for what bugs you, too. Like a Citronella fuel torch, just $6.99. Or Wasp and Hornet spray, 2 for $5.
Lighten up and have some fun with games like Beanbag Toss and Ladder Ball Toss. Were $24.99, on sale for the holiday for just $19.99.
Happy 4th of July. Get your supplies for pool and patio, now on sale at Kohl's Hardware.
Don't forget to fly the colors.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Now, Kohl's is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Have you liked us on Facebook yet?
Once again, the Front Street Station presents the top 10 reasons to stop by their Evenings on the Terrace and Outdoor Platform Cafe.
Number 10.
To enjoy Friday night, comedy night, call for dates.
Number 9.
Enjoy Tuesday and Thursday pasta nights.
Number 8.
To book your next wedding reception, class reunion, or business lunch.
Number 7.
Enjoy happy hours 5 to 7 Monday through Friday.
Number 6.
Enjoy a Santa Fe taco salad at lunchtime.
Number 5.
Sink your teeth into a thick, juicy, blackened New York strip steak.
Number 4.
To enjoy their famous crab cakes, a house specialty.
Number 3.
To enjoy their finger-licking barbecue wings.
Number 2.
To enjoy their chef's daily specials.
And the number one reason to visit the Front Street Station this week, the music and live entertainment.
This Friday, June 15th, Rick and Harvey. And Saturday, June 16th, Billy D and Rosie will be jamming on the terrace. Front Street Station, number 2 Front Street in Northumberland. Look for their full menu and specials online at frontstreetstation.com.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence here from WKOK's On the Mark program. I hope you enjoyed today's show. We had Joe McGranahan, Ben Reichley, and Than Mitchell co-hosting together. Monday morning on WKOK, it's Ben Reichley, the Reverend Leah Shade, and Dr. Wendy Lee talking about Marcellus shale drilling, an economic boom or an environmental bust. Monday morning, 8:30 a.m. on News Radio 1070 WKOK and anywhere in the world, WKOK.com.
It's the mere thought that Mark Lawrence would promote the fact that Kevin Herr is now in a worldwide audience.
This is not the first time I've been on a worldwide audience. We had a lot of people listening to Shikellamy football and basketball broadcasts from Iraq, Afghanistan, and their off times.
And also, I understand that your broadcasts are big in Minsk. Well done.
Yes. They're preparing for my guest appearance there. Is that where you're going?
And here's the great part. They understand you. All right.
Glad somebody does.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565.
Today the
topic is going to be what was the first event that your father ever sporting event your father ever brought you to or memorable, and for you as a father, what's the first or most memorable event you brought your children to? 1-800-795-9565. I know Kevin has great memories of said things.
Well, the first one would be the first game I ever went to, the first sporting event I ever went to, was Yankees game in 77. No, 78. 78. And the first sporting event I took my son to, you know, I was trying to think of this earlier today when this topic popped up in our conversation, and I think it would have to be a Phillies game. The sad part is I don't remember the year. I have to do the math a little bit. I think he was 7. So that would be 96. No, that's not right. 06. There we go. I'm hoping it was very memorable for him.
You wonder why the kid wants to go into the band. All right.
Listen, I've seen him practice the trumpet. Better shot at quarterback. Anyway.
But for the listeners out there in our Lenape Solar Hotline, on today's show that's brought to you by our good friends from Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, what was the first event that your father took you to or most memorable? And conversely, as a father, what was the first or most memorable event you took any of your children to? Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565 to join in. And on this Father's Day weekend, tell us about that. We are scheduled, by the way, to have Matt Adams of the St. Louis Cardinals with us just after 4 o'clock. We were going to have Matt on a couple of weeks ago. He actually did call in from New York. Well, now we've been able to arrange it. He's out of Phillipsburg Osceola High School right here in central Pennsylvania. And he's starting in the major leagues at first base. So,
and he's been a very good replacement, too, for Pujols.
Well, what's interesting is that, believe it or not, his job will be threatened a little bit by a former State College spike, Alan Craig.
Jeez.
How about that?
Boy, that stinks.
I mean, can you believe it? All right. Let's go to Moser in Elysburg. How are you doing today?
Hey, how are you, Steve?
It's great to hear from you. How's life?
It's great. It's great. This is Representative Kurt Mosser. I wanted to just send kudos out to the Southern Columbia girls softball team who played up at State College today.
Yes, they did. Played over at Beard Field. They played today.
I was up to see the game. What a beautiful complex. And they played a fantastic game. Came up a little bit short, but they had a fantastic season. There's nothing to sneeze at losing in the state final.
Yeah, well, it's a fabulous season. Look, there's the heartbreak of not winning, okay? There's the heartbreak of it. But then there'll be a moment in time where everyone will settle down. And when they do, they'll realize the incredible accomplishments. And when they get together down the road or families get together down the road, they will remember all the great wins that led up to this and remember when we played in the state championship. And they created memories for everybody in the Southern Columbia District by what they've done.
It was unbelievable. The crowd that was there for Southern Columbia was fantastic. And I think you're right. I think they will look back on this and realize, you know, next to us, there is only one team standing. And they have a great team. They have a whole lot to be proud of. They only lose one senior starter, so they got a great squad coming back next year, and we're looking for big things next year.
Hey, Kurt, I was curious to see curious to hear how many fans made the trip out. Did you get a chance to get an idea?
Gosh, I don't know how many that stadium seats, but certainly our half of the stadium was full from Southern Columbia. It was full.
Well, it seats 1,100.
Yeah, let's face it, Southern Columbia travels well no matter what sport, right, Kurt?
It seems to me that, again, just like the football finals, whoever left Elysburg last had to shut the lights off.
Had to turn the lights off, that's right.
Is that your job now, to go back in there and turn them back on?
We're back now. We turned them back on, and I'm sure we're going to hopefully do something special for them girls because they had a special season.
Well, Elysburg is a beautiful, wonderful community, and I think it's fabulous that so many people turned out. And they deserve all the credit in the world for an incredible run, and they deserve all the credit for how much pride they have brought to the area by what they've done.
They sure do. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, Chris, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 on this Friday afternoon. And for you as a father, what was the first sporting event you brought your children to, or the most memorable? And conversely, what was the first sporting event or most memorable that your dad brought you to? Yeah, so I know I've told both the stories, so I'm not going to go into that much detail. But, I mean, the first one my father brought, and for you, for some people, it could be a high school football game. It doesn't have to be a professional game or a college game. It could be a high school event, for goodness sakes. Could be that. For me, the first time I went was, obviously, to a Red Sox game. Mickey Mantle homered. My father jumped. I couldn't believe how high he jumped. I never saw him do that before. I was 5 years old at the time. But he used to bring me to high school football on Saturday afternoons. And most of Connecticut high school football, especially back in the 60s, was a Saturday afternoon game. It was not Friday night.
That's what I was just thinking. That sounds funny around here. I mean, there's Saturday afternoon games, but just not that many.
No, but in Connecticut, when I played high school football during the leather helmet days, when I played high school football, we played all Saturdays. There's only one Friday night I can ever remember playing, and that was a preseason scrimmage.
Was that a lighting issue because you didn't have lights?
Yeah, nobody had lights.
Yeah, that's what a lot. That's the reason that teams around here play on Saturday usually.
Well, it's not a question of not only not having lights, but you have to remember UConn, for example, did not go Division I in football till 2003.
That's true.
You don't have any Division I football teams in the state. You know, so going to see Division One AA UConn play is not exactly a state thing to do. Well, it's just not. It's just not the way it is. Like Penn State football,
yeah,
it's just
saying,
not like that.
There's this football team about middle part of the state that
right.
draws a pretty big crowd on a Saturday,
right.
and I've seen a lot of high school football games when there's a rainout on a Friday night get postponed. And the first question that the athletic directors ask is, by the way, is Penn State an afternoon or a night game? Is it home or away?
Right. You know, and what? And it's not just a question of, oh, we're trying to tailor it around it. You want people to have both experiences. You know, you want to make sure you're able to tailor it for everybody. Well, and so we went to high school football games, and I remember him taking me to a place called Dillon Stadium in Hartford. And Hartford had a team in the Continental Football League. The Continental Football League, it originally came up as an idea that it was going to be a rival for the NFL and so forth, and then it lapsed into being a minor league for NFL teams to use and stock and so forth. And Hartford had a team in it. In fact, I think one of the more famous graduates of the Continental Football League is actor John Amos. Actor John Amos, who played the husband in the TV show Good Times with Esther Rolle, and also played the role of older Kunta Kinte in Roots. LeVar Burton played younger Kunta Kinte. He played Kunta Kinte as an adult. He played for a team called the Wheeling Ironmen in the Continental Football League. And I remember him taking me to see the Norfolk Neptunes and the Hartford Charter Oaks. And they were called the Charter Oaks because in the state of Connecticut, when the British had invaded, they took the state charter and they hid it in an oak tree, thus the Charter Oak. That's what they've always called it. And that's what they nicknamed the team. And I remember seeing them play. And Dillon Stadium was about, 9,000, 10,000 seats. It's no big deal. It's no better than a glorified high school stadium. The Hartford Bicentennials of the North American Soccer League actually played there once. But those are the things. And the first NFL game he took me to, I recall, was Yale Bowl, a preseason game between the New York Giants with Franz Harkinden against the then St. Louis Cardinals. And I know I've told the story before about the first game I took my son to, which was a Red Sox game against the Minnesota Twins. And in that Red Sox game, the Red Sox were in the middle of a 24-game Fenway Park winning streak. Amazing. And it was 1988, and it was the summer called Morgan Magic. Joe Morgan had taken over as the manager of the Red Sox in midseason. I believe he had replaced John McNamara. And suddenly the Red Sox at home couldn't lose. And in the middle of this streak, I decided to take my son to his first game. He's 6 years old at the time. So we get there, and I called Gil Santos, and Gil's the play-by-play voice for the Patriots. I said, is it possible to have any tickets left? Because they were selling so many tickets. And he says, yeah, I'll call somebody. And he left the tickets. I went to the will call window. I paid for them. But at least I knew I had seats. And the seats that Gil left for me were halfway between home plate and the visitor's dugout. Great seats, and were maybe 20 rows off the field. And the fans were season ticket holders all around there. And when they found out it was his first game, oh, they made such a big deal out of it. They couldn't have treated him any better. I made sure he had the ballpark experience food-wise because I went out and got him a nice sloppy sausage sandwich, did exactly what any dad would do when nobody's looking. I got him all sorts of junk to eat. because I wanted him to have fun, have a good time, and he loved it. Roger Clemens is pitching for the Red Sox. Clemens won the Cy Young that year. So Clemens is pitching that night, so he's watching Roger Clemens, and he had a great night. I mean, he pitched seven innings, gave up just two runs, maybe three, four hits, struck out eight. And the Red Sox are winning. It's all good. And then the bullpen comes in. And suddenly, what is a 5-1 Red Sox lead implodes. They give up a They give up four runs in the... They give up, three runs, I think, in the eighth inning. And now it's a 5-4 game. And out of nowhere, Morgan decides, and we have a perfect view of the Red Sox dugout, Joe Morgan decides that he wants to pinch hit for Jim Rice, of all people, the Hall of Famer Jim Rice. And Rice grabs a bat, and he's about ready to go out. Morgan calls him back, and the two of them get into an argument. I mean, heated, finger-pointing the whole thing, and then Rice is going to go back out, he's going to hit. And Morgan grabs his arm and yanks him back into the dugout. Now the two really go at it, and the place is going berserk. Meanwhile, a light-hitting infielder goes to the plate, and then promptly grounds out to short and kills the rally. And the place is abuzz after watching this heated argument in the dugout. I mean, everybody on our side can see right in there. Okay. So now the Red Sox, nursing a one-point lead, bring Lee Smith, who eventually at one stage in his career did lead all relievers in the history of the game in saves. That's since been supplanted. But he promptly blows the lead in the ninth inning, and now it's a 5-5 game. Okay. So the two of us are watching this, and then the Twins come to the plate in the top of the 10th inning. In the top of the 10th, the monster seats you see now in Fenway were not there in 1988. Kirby Puckett hits one over the screen in left field, and suddenly the Twins lead 6-5. Like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. And then the Twins are still batting, and all of a sudden, the park starts to buzz. Some knucklehead, evidently enjoying one too many refreshing adult beverages, is now up on the guy wire that holds... He's up in the guide wire that holds the backstop up and is shimmying down the guide wire.
It's no wonder why you remember this game so vividly. You had more interesting things happen in this game than I have in 20 games.
He shimmies down. They stop the game. They stop the game because he gets to the backstop, and he's up on top of the backstop, and the police come out, and now they're trying to get this guy out of here. So, I'm halfway between home plate and the third base dugout, so the two of us have a perfect view of this guy, and the fans are booing. They want him out of there. The police are trying to climb up the screen. They can't get to him. And this is before they built the tower that's now up at Fenway, so it was a little lower back then. And he finally walks up the screen and into the Red Sox broadcast booth where the police are waiting for him, and they arrest him. Finally, the Red Sox get out of the inning, and then in the bottom of the 10th inning, two guys get on. Todd Benzinger comes up and hits one around the pesky pole in right field. It's a walk-off three-run homer, and the Red Sox win 8-6. The place is going berserk. It's going wild. This is all part of the 24-game home winning streak. So I looked at my son, and I said, Mike, I said, we sit down after everybody's calmed down. I said, Mike, let me tell you something. I said, you saw Roger Clemens pitch. You saw a fight in the dugout. I said, you saw the Red Sox blow a lead. You saw Kirby Puckett hit a home run. You saw the guy shimmy down the guy wire and stop the game. And you saw a walk-off home run. I just want you to know, not every game is like this.
Yeah, no kidding. The best thing we have to remember is it was Fanatic birthday, and it was about 30 degrees with the wind chill, and we're up there above home plate, three rows from the ceiling.
Right.
That's the best thing that happened in that day, in that game.
Right. That was his most memorable moment.
Wow. You can't buy a game. I mean, you can't even plan something like that.
Well, I talked to Gil later. He says, I can't believe the game you saw.
I said, no kidding.
Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It is the weekend, so please head to the beverage supermarket. And at 1-800-795-9565, our phone line is powered by Lenape Solar. Visit LenapeSolar.com. And on the hotline now from Lewisburg is Fred. Thank you for your patience, Fred, and welcome to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My first memory of a sports event with my dad was we were living in Philadelphia, and he was in the Army. He was with the anti-aircraft guarding the naval yards across from the municipal stadium. And he took me to the Army-Navy game, and Blanchard and Davis were playing. It was their senior year. It was 44 or 45. and I remember it well. Blanchard's thighs were so big, I couldn't believe it was bigger than most people's chest. And I also remember my dad, being an Army officer, sitting there with other officers, and I wondered what they were passing around. And it happened to be a flask. And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Well, that's to keep people warm." And I said, "Can I have some?" "No," he said, "none." So the other thing I wanted to share with you was we lived in the Hotel Philadelphia at 39th and Chestnut Street, and the Eagles lived there. And it was football season. And I got to know most of them. And I was invited by Ben Kish, a second-string fullback, I think he was, to sit in the bench. And I said, "Oh, I would love it." I asked my dad. He said, "Sure, you can." And I sat next to Al Sherman, who has been on ESPN, I think, many times. And he was a second-string quarterback, very short but left-handed. The first-string quarterback was Leroy Zimmerman. There's a big name.
Yes.
And Al said, "Whitey, would you go get me a hot dog?" He said, "Here's some money." He took a hot dollar bill out of his athletic supporter, and I got him a hot dog. And we were sitting there at the end of the bench. He was eating his hot dog. Greasy Neal came down and said, "Al, where'd you get that?" He said, "Whitey got it for me." And Greasy Neal said, "Fred, you won't be able to sit in the bench anymore." I was devastated. One more quick one. In the sweet shop, I guess it was about noon, I was having a hot chocolate. I'm 12 years old, and this big man sitting next to me, I knew he was a football player. And he said, "What do you have there, Whitey?" I said, "It's my autograph book." He said, "Oh, can I see it?" Yeah. He said, "Oh, boy." He said, "You're featuring Steve Van Buren." I said, "Yes, he's my hero. And Mel Bleeker, yep, and the Jack Hinkle, yep." He said, "Can I sign it?" I said, no, I don't believe so. This is for the stars." The guy was Al Wistert. He was like a 7-year all-star. Yeah. And I wouldn't let him sign it.
you have high standards, Fred.
Well, I did it that time. They've diminished since. Well, it's good sharing these with you.
Fred, those were three marvelous stories. Thank you so much for sharing. The audience is richer for hearing them. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. All right, is Barty there? I know she has a...
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. No, good. Kevin, move out of the way, will you? In the hallway. No, Kevin, go in the hallway.
No, I even brought in a special microphone just for her.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, you can go in the hallway, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, Sarah. How you been?
Great.
It's great to hear from you. You do a great job all the time.
Thanks.
Well, so your memory, first time.
I have a few memories from Memorial Stadium. I posted my picture
on
Twitter.
We have the picture, yeah. The picture's the best.
I know.
And if you haven't done it, you got to search the archives at stevejonesshow.com. So go to stevejonesshow.com and check that out. That's the best picture. And I tell you what, she's only grown a little bit taller. She looks the same as she did then.
Good. Thanks, Kev. I can't say the same for you.
And you wonder why I asked him to go in the hallway.
I have some great memories from Memorial Stadium back when I was probably 7, 6, 7, 8, and my parents would take me all the time. My two favorite memories are, one, I used to love our catcher, Mickey Tettleton. And that was his name. And I used to love him. And I loved him because he loved Fruit Loops. And he would always say that the reason that everything that he did well, he did it because he ate Fruit Loops every single day. And I thought that was so cool. So it was my favorite thing. And then my other favorite thing being at the ballpark there was our announcer, who always used to say, "Give that fan a contract," every time someone would catch
Rex
a foul
Barney.
Ball. Yep, Rex Barney would say, "Give that fan a contract." Or sometimes if they would drop it, he would say, "Give that fan an error." So I remember that.
Two great memories. That's nice. Kevin, in fact, his athletic memories deal a lot with errors.
Yeah, all right. Some of my career memories deal with errors, too.
This being one of them?
No
Sarah,
comment.
Thank you so much. That
Absolutely.
Was wonderful. All right. Sarah will be back, by the way, top of the hour with the news here on WKOK. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. What about your memories? The first time either your father took you to an event or memorable event. Conversely, as a father or as a parent, what you took your child to for the first time or a memorable event that the two of you always talk about.
You know, we talked about this the other day when you were talking about the value of minor league baseball and how lucky we are in this region. I spent a lot of summers going up to Scranton-Wilkes-Barre when the Red Barons were the Phillies affiliate there in AAA ball, and you know, you had an opportunity to get up there more often because A, it was closer, B, it was a lot less expensive all the way around. And we saw a lot of the guys that are playing in Philadelphia right now and actually in some other parts of the Major League Baseball as well, many, many times being able to take my son to those type of games.
Right. It's one thing, I was at Penn State Wilkes-Barre for 2 years, and they built all that stuff after I left. There were no Scranton, yeah. Wilkes-Barre Barons at the time. The baby Pens weren't playing because the stadium and the arena didn't exist.
Well, and then for a while they had the Johnny Unitas was part owner of the Pioneers, the Arena 2 football team up there.
Right. So, yeah, you miss out on that. All right, you wanted to know about R.A. Dickey.
Well, yeah, they have the big decision now of looking over the tapes and do they make it a no-hitter? Do they charge an error instead of a hit, changing the entire complexion of the game as far as historical purposes? And I know they do this a lot. They look at games post and analyze the scoring and adjust the scoring if needed. But is this one of those things that it's not necessary to adjust the scoring?
I wouldn't adjust it in a million years.
Now, what if this had no impact on it being a no-hitter or anything else? If it was just the difference between scoring a hit or an error, should that be reviewed?
No.
See, I have that same view. I don't think that you should be reviewing it days later for any reason. I mean, you have a scoring person on site, and there's such a thing as a hometown scorebook. We all have heard that phrase before. And that may exist, it may not exist, but once that decision's made by the hometown scorebook, then it's done.
Yeah, it is done. And I know you brought up replay. First of all, errors are not a reviewable play.
That was the other thing I was going to hope you were going to say, yeah.
Yeah, errors are not a reviewable play and should never be a reviewable play. And interesting enough, it's the Mets asking for this. Do you think the Cardinals would like to send a tape of Johan Santana's no-hitter to Major League Baseball and have them rule on that? I mean, the ball's fair. It's a miscall by the umpire. The ball is fair.
Well, now, the thing that I thought they were discussing was the bare hand throw to first.
Right.
I thought that was one of the other things they were discussing was the bare hand play.
But I think it's wrong to go in. To me, this is the equivalent of handing Mario Andretti the Indianapolis 500 and then the next day handing it back to Bobby Unser.
Well, unfortunately, that did happen one time, kind of, but
no, well,
different
situation. But I'm using that.
Yeah.
But that's what they did. They did it by a ruling.
Right.
What are you talking about? If you're going to take care of it at the moment. But this is a judgment call by the official score. Official scores, you know, they make mistakes. They make mistakes, okay? But it's a mistake. It's not because of, they're professionals, and they're put in a tough spot. And they have to make an instant call. Now, they do have time themselves to look at it later, and they do. They can change it during the game. This official score felt no need to change it during the game. I mean, the official score felt no need because they can change it. Because, you know, this happens all the time. All right, here's Anderson at the plate. Earlier, he had reached on an error, but the official score has changed it to a base hit. That happens all the time. But it has to be the official score that does it. And it can't be done days later by Major League Baseball.
the concern that I had was the comment that Torrey said, even though I've made these decisions on official scoring on a daily basis, obviously with what's at stake here, I want to make sure we give the decision every opportunity to get more than just my opinion on what I've seen. Well, all right, I understand that there's a no-hitter done, but, you know, let's look at it. In the particular case that they're discussing here, B.J. Upton was given a hit. You're going to take away that hit now, give a no-hitter, and now the error is going to go to David Wright.
Right.
I don't see why you need to look at it this way.
I don't think David Wright cares if he gets an error or not.
No, but what if this is the error that's the difference between him winning a Gold Glove or not? Do we go back and review that and go, wait a minute, maybe we need to change this because this could have been a Gold Glove award here.
They don't give Gold Gloves on fewest errors.
Well,
Gold Glove is a judgment call.
I realize that, but I'm using that as an example of, you know, do we take this award and then look at this play 6 months earlier? That was the point I was trying to make.
Well, they did it on fewest errors, but I don't think, look, you can't do this. Simple as that. You can't do it. And after a while, you start playing games with this stuff. First of all, and it would not come into play here. It would not come into play. But baseball is the guiltiest of all sports of how poorly they use technology. I mean, it's just that's the fact. I mean, no sport does a worse job of using technology than baseball does.
Even basketball is using it on a regular basis.
Sure, they're using it on a regular basis, and they pick specific moments to do so, and gone from there. I mean, there was a critical call in last night's Heat and Thunder game where the ball went off Cephalosha out of bounds. You know, you look at it closely, see it's the back of his hand that knocked out of bounds. It gave Miami the ball and helped them put the game away. Critical call. Replay determined it. And that's what you need replay to do, not whether a guy has a no-hitter or not. And in the Cardinals-Mets game, if they had used it, Johan Santana wouldn't have a no-hitter.
Yeah, why aren't they looking at that one then?
Can't. Yeah, can't do it. It's okay to change the ruling of an official score. It's not okay to change the official ruling of an umpire.
Well, that's true, because that's not quite apples to apples here. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm kind of hoping this does get overturned for the simple fact that R.A. Dickey is one of my pitchers in my fantasy team, so it means more points for me, but I don't think it should be.
Oh, boy.
Well, listen, you don't think there's people out there going, oh, yeah, overturn this because I could use the – I'm a few points out of second place right now. Sure there are.
See, I'm a big believer in the front of the jersey. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go online to lenapesolar.com. We want to hear, you know, what event or memorable moment did your father take you to on this Father's Day weekend? Conversely, you as a father, what event or memorable moment did you take any of your children to? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. From the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget the Steve Jones Show every Friday, sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the weekend. Time to head to the beverage supermarket. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to get another call in before we do take our break here. And again, 800-795-9565. What event either you took your children to, or conversely, you were taken to by your dad on this Father's Day weekend? And then we'll update the U.S. Open following the break. Get everybody up to date. And that Tiger does not tee off until 4:18 Eastern time, with Phil Mickelson and Bubba Watson.
You got to tell me how that 14-year-old's doing today. Did he shoot a 78 yesterday?
Pretty well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be complaining with a 78. Not when you're looking at some of the guys that shot a 78 along with him.
Well, I know. I remember you shot 78 one time, and then we were driving down 11 and 15, and I said, yeah, what course did you shoot? And I said, that one over there, and that's the huge windmill. All right, let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining us on the show on the Lenape Solar Hotline.
Hey, Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you? It's great to hear from you.
Good. Hey, I thought I'd call and pick up Kevin. I was the guy that called Shickling me football before he did.
That's true. Steve Williams.
And actually, my first sporting event with my dad was Shickling me football. We probably hit all the games in the first 5 or 6 years after the two schools joined together. One of the things that I remember is they used to have a guy that came in and he would ride around the stadium on a horse dressed as an Indian. I don't know if any of the old-timers remember that or who that was, but I'd sure like to know who that was. But that was always kind of neat. And, he worked in Reading for a while, and Strickland used to play Governor Mifflin, and he would come home from Reading, pick me up, and take me back to Reading to the football game. So that's how much of a fan he was.
Wow. That's really great.
Yeah.
That's great. Great memories. Great memories. Well, you do a great... Go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as my kids, actually the first event I took my son to was the Cumberland Valley Williamsport playoff game, and it was when I was calling Shickling me, and I could never take him to a football game, and that was really the first one that I could take him to late in the year, because that year Shickling me didn't quite make the playoffs, but if you ask him, he'd probably tell you it was soccer matches or automobile races. We used to go to a lot of... to a lot of soccer games. We saw the women's and the men's World Cup and Olympic soccer games.
And no wrestling matches?
Oh, he went to plenty of them,
oh,
too.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, there'd be something wrong there.
Yeah, no, he went to plenty of them. But, yeah, the first one he ever went to was the football game.
Oh, that's great. Steve, you do a great job for us on wrestling. Always enjoy listening to it.
Hey, the Braves are coming back, baby. They're going to be right there. They got a couple guys heading up to Lake Homing to school this year. So, you know, some great success off the mat for those guys. Looking forward to got a young crop coming up. So they'll be back.
That's great. Steve, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Our number 1-800-795-9565. And we'll come back with more here on WKOK after this.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury has all your summer partying needs. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
We're here with Andy Long from W&L Subaru, and I had to make my way through a sea of Subarus. You got a lot of cars here.
Yes, we do. W&L Subaru has over 100 new cars on our lot, and we have hot summer deals to move them out.
Did I hear 0.9% financing on top of the hot summer deals?
That's right. Head into W&L Subaru for financing as low as 0.9% on all 2012 Subaru Foresters, Legacies, and Outbacks.
That's financing as low as 0.9 on 2012 Subaru Forester 2.5X Premium Model, 2.5i Premium Model Legacy, and the 2.5i Premium Outback?
You got it. With over 100 new Subarus, including 30 Outbacks, 30 Foresters to choose from, we are ready to deal. So come into W&L Subaru on Route 11 in Northumberland. We've got more cars, a bigger lot, and new car inventory like never before.
For more details, go to WNLSubaru.com or stop in W&L Subaru, Route 11 in Northumberland. W&L wants to see you in a Subaru.
W&L Subaru, it's the right car to do.
Financing offer applies to Forester CFF02.
Once again, the Front Street Station presents the top 10 reasons to stop by their Evenings on the Terrace and Outdoor Platform Cafe.
Number 10.
To enjoy Friday night, comedy night, call for dates.
Number 9.
Enjoy Tuesday and Thursday pasta nights.
Number 8.
To book your next wedding reception, class reunion, or business lunch.
Number 7.
Enjoy happy hours, 5 to 7, Monday through Friday.
Number 6.
Enjoy a Santa Fe taco salad at lunchtime.
Number 5.
Sink your teeth into a thick, juicy, blackened New York strip steak.
Number 4.
To enjoy their famous crab cakes, a house specialty.
Number 3.
To enjoy their finger-licking barbecue wings.
Number 2.
To enjoy their chef's daily specials.
And the number one reason to visit the Front Street Station this week, the music and live entertainment.
This Friday, June 15th, Rick and Harvey. And Saturday, June 16th, Billy D and Rosie will be jamming on the terrace. Front Street Station, number 2 Front Street in Northumberland. Look for their full menu and specials online at frontstreetstation.com.
You already know the Silver Moon Consignment Barn has moved their showroom to the Silver Moon Furniture Store and added 20,000 square feet for more inventory and better selection. They invite you to help them make it official during the grand opening. They'll give away 100 free gift certificates, no purchase necessary. Enjoy free refreshments, browse the bigger showroom for merchandise old, new, and everything in between. Now right beside Silver Moon Furniture, Route 15 north of Lewisburg.
News Radio 1070 WKOK offers you more ways to stay informed with the news of the day. Follow News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter. Just visit WKOK.com and click on the Twitter link or go to your Twitter account and search WKOK 1070. Don't forget to check your Twitter settings and have all the WKOK tweets sent right to your mobile phone via text message. It's instant access to news, weather, sports, and business info. Just another way to keep you informed with News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the show. Here on WKOK. Great to have you with us. We'll update you on the U.S. Open and how things are going. Tiger does not tee off, by the way, until 4:18. Michael Thompson is teeing off in just a few moments, the leader at 400 par. He was the runner-up at the U.S. Amateur the last time it was at Olympic Club in 2007. Jim Furyk, who won the State Golf Championship here on the Penn State Blue Course in 1987 and is a former U.S. Open champion, has had a good day today. He is so far 1-under par through 17, which puts him at 1-under par for the tournament. Tiger has not teed yet. He's at 1-under. David Toms does not go until 4:40. Graham McDowell, 1-over for the day through 17, so he's fallen back to even. But that's not a big drop at the U.S. Open. That just means he's right in the ballpark. So those are the big names and what they have done so far. But those are the leaders. There are no other names mixed in with that group. It's Thompson, Furyk, Woods, Toms, and McDowell. And in that group, you have a former U.S. amateur runner-up, a former U.S. Open champ, a three-time U.S. Open champ, PGA champion, and a U.S. Open champion. Kevin, quit.
No, I'm listening intently. Because I hadn't taken a look at those numbers yet, so I wanted to see who was in the lead and how things were going.
Yeah, that's who's doing. That's who do what? You have like a fantasy golf league, too?
No, one exists, but I'm not in it.
No?
I'm in the Fantasy IndyCar instead.
Fantasy IndyCar League, I see. And who do you have in the Fantasy IndyCar League?
For this week? I don't know yet. I haven't seen qualifying yet. Once I do that, then I'll make my decisions on who I'm going to place. I get three drivers to pick from.
Is there one you pick every time?
Yeah, I pick Marco every time.
Oh.
It's usually okay as long as he doesn't wreck.
Right. And you're in a fantasy Indy league?
Yeah.
Against whom?
Oh, against everybody across the country. IndyCar Nation.
Really? So, I mean, it's been a fun thing for both of you?
It's just really good. When does vacation start?
I don't know. I haven't had one in a while. Our number,
too bad,
is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. Looking forward to hearing from you here on WKOK. Sarah Bartlett, with great memories of Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, comes up with the news at the top of the hour.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.